you are the catcher and we are the flyer. And as we go through the air like a trapeze artist, Jesus, we are allowing you to catch us. We can't grab hold of you. You grab hold of us. John tells us we didn't choose you. You chose us. Jesus, may we be found faithful, though, now that you called and chose us. So, Lord, today I thank you that my sins can be washed white as snow. Their sins be as scarlet, and they shall be as gold. Their sins be as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, today for the power to forgive, the power to save, and keep saved. God, we see you one day face to face. Bless our time now as we look at the book of James. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you need a Bible, would you raise your hand? And James is going to hand out the book of James. So, if we'd have been preaching through the book of Ruth, I'd have had Ruth hand out the book. And then we get to the tough task of looking in God's Word. If you've watched an Andy Griffith show in your life, then I know you're blessed. But no, if you're watching Andy Griffith show in your life, you might have said, hey, I've seen this before. Well, that would be, Jenny says, I have a memorized. But what about another show that you sit down on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday, whatever, and you're going to watch your favorite show, and you're all excited, and you got your Coke and the ice, and you got your box of Debbie Cakes, Swiss Rolls, you've got them all in the popcorn, and it starts, and you go, wait a minute, I've already seen this one. It's a rerun, sort of disappointing. Well, today James speaks. Remember, he writes this book, but you're going to almost seem like, hey, I've heard this before. That's because James is writing the same theme. In chapter 1, Andy started us off in chapter 1, spoke half the chapter, and I got the second half. And if you remember, last week I talked to you about listening and doing. Some people hear, but then they just don't really listen. And so you got to hear it and soak it in. There's two ways to receive. Going out the door, you grab your car keys. That's receiving your keys. You don't put much thought into grabbing them. But then there's another receive. You carefully select something. So last week, Jane says, you're listening, but are you what? Doing. Well, this week, guess what? James chapter 2, faith and deeds. Listening and doing. Now it's faith and deeds. It's a rerun, so to speak. And this is probably one of these kind of things. Now, Brett gave me this problem to solve. And Brett didn't really give me this problem to solve. But that is a problem, and I would have no idea. This is one of, I'm just being honest, transparent here. Out of the whole Bible, I would find this is probably, I used to think that. God helps me to see better and better. But this is probably one of the harder passages to speak on. It's a problem to some people in the fact that it's like, it's like you in calculus class. You just don't quite get it. It's like, could you do that again? Because I'm going to ask y'all, everybody on this side, say the word works. Works. You say the word faith. Faith. Y'all said what?
Works.
Faith.
Works. Faith. We're going to put them together. You say, can you do that?
Faith works.
Faith does work. And let's work our faith. It's like if I gave you a coin, okay, there's Lincoln on one side and there's the Lincoln Memorial on the other side. Same coin, two different. How's this? Can we separate them? I've never picked up a penny and found Lincoln's head on both sides. And the tough part about this, it's just that some people cannot solve this problem. Now, this is a tough problem right here, but the problem of James, a blueprint for the Christian life, chapter 2. James is a half-brother of the Lord. And James, if I had a pair of army boots, I'd put them right there and show you. James is going to step all over your toes again. And you say, boy, he's mean or rough. Could you look at it this way? He's probably telling you what you need to what. And so, don't go in that field. There's landmines. Oh, quit telling me what to do. Do you understand what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to save you. Well, you know. So James tackles this tough task of telling people what they need to hear. Not everybody will receive it. So he starts off, and again, Andy got the first half of chapter 1, talks about trials and temptations. I talked about listening and doing. Last Sunday night you missed a blessing. Lindsay shared on favoritism and how we need to look at everyone equally. because God does. And now here's the second half of chapter 2 as we move through the book. I'll just remind you, if you got James chapter 2, I believe that's found on page 854. Is that right? Okay, let's read James chapter 2, starting with verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Now, I told you this is a problem or a struggle a little bit. I used to think, well, God, faith saves people, and when people say that you might need what... I used to read this and get a little bit... You know, it's a conundrum. It's like, Lord, explain this to me. And God says, okay, James, his own brother, is talking, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Well, that's because actions speak louder than words. Can such faith save him? And I grew up thinking, faith saves me. Well, keep reading. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed. But he does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it? When the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. He could just hear the critics in the crowd, but someone will say, well, wait a minute now. You know, I got faith. He says, okay, you have faith. You have faith. I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. It's going to be tough. I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe, and then there's some people say, but I believe in God. Here comes this next verse. You believe that there's one God. Good. Of course, even the demons in hell believe that and shudder. So you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Now, see, that's where I used to struggle. Like, well, my faith saves me, but I'm going to get to this in a minute. Well, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Can anybody just a little bit remotely feel, like I said, the problem that I'm talking about? So you've got two camps. To help explain this, if you had a pot right here and a pot right there full of soil, and I take a seed and I plant it, and I plant one in that one, and you say, I have planted a tree, I'd almost say, well, we're going to have to wait and what? See if you planted a tree. Well, but I planted it, so in 3 weeks, nothing. I'm beginning to wonder, did you plant that tree or not? Well, I thought I did. This one over here's got something that's coming through the dirt. Oh, man, you did plant that tree. I can see it. If I say, Joey, I used to have people do this all the time. You do it at the gym. If somebody said, I can dunk a basketball, what's the next thing somebody says? Show me. Well, I can. Yeah, you can dunk it. What ladder? You know, what folding chair are you standing in? No. If I can dunk it, didn't do it. If I say, I'm a tennis pro, tell me a little bit about it. Well, I don't have a racket, never took lessons, don't even know how to keep score. You're going to have people call you a liar. Well, but I am. But what you're doing, you're saying it, but you're not showing it. So here's the real fine line that I think James says. And I can give you a couple examples, one from history, one from... Jesus used to talk to these people called Pharisees. And the Pharisees were very religious. They had what? Works. Remember what y'all were supposed to be. Works. They had works. They would never miss a Sabbath day. They were in the synagogue all the time. They had these prayer shawls. They had these little things called phylacteries where they'd memorize scripture, put it in a box, tie it on their head. And the more you had to swing around you, the more they bragged on you. These guys had works. And Jesus would show up and say, I'm the man of God. I'm the son of God. You know, they wanted to kill him. Well, obviously, you don't have faith to go with your
works.
Pharisees, y'all dead. He called them whited sepulchers one time. Not y'all, don't take too much. But he called the Pharisees one time. He said, you're like a whited sepulcher.
We're separate.
Yeah. We're going to have a church split four. Right back now. But if you had a tomb, what's inside a tomb? dead people. He said, Pharisees, you're dead. If you walk the walk, or can you? No, y'all can't walk the walk. Maybe there's a little walk, but I've never heard you talk about God. But we're doing good. Now, do you think we've got people like that today in Roanoke? Absolutely. Put the three-piece suit on today. Put the check in the offering plate as it goes by. Got more pens for Sunday school than General MacArthur. They just want it all. They do it all and have no idea who Jesus is. You look so good. Great works. Yeah, go to church on Sunday and cuss out the guy at work the next day. I went to Edmund Henry College, and I would have people that want to party on Saturday night. And I'm thinking, no, thank you. I don't really want to go to the party. Yeah, they'd go out and about get smashed. We're there on Sunday morning. They're in the chapel there at college. Oh, had a girl tell me one time, she said, yeah, we're going to have a keg party. And I thought, well, that's probably not going to be real good, especially if anybody's driving. She said, well, that's all right. I'll just go to confession tomorrow. Wow. So you move forward a few hundred years and get into the time of the Reformation period, but you had the Church of England or the Anglican Church, or we would think like the Catholic Church, you had people again with a lot of works, and Martin Luther came along and he said, you guys are dead because y'all don't have any faith. And he named a 99-page thesis and nailed it to the door of the place to read that to get the chance, because you guys who depend on your
works
are dead.
Man, what
wrong side. And they wanted to kill him, really. I mean, he put his life on the line. So basically, you're going up to the church, the established church, and saying, what do you mean we're wrong? Because you look good on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. Now, let me show you where the conundrum comes, or the problem comes, is this. Now let's flip-flop on the other side of the spectrum, and you guys with
faith.
At least you say you have
faith,
but y'all don't have any
worse.
And James started looking at people in the early church and said, everybody wants to follow my brother Jesus, and you say that you have
faith,
but your old lifestyle hasn't changed.
Uh-huh.
Y'all never go to church, you never read the Bible, you're not a giver, you hate everybody. It's like, and so he says, I got a new concept to try to teach you, that you guys who are dependent on
works
to get to heaven are not going to make it. Well, I've been baptized, I go to church, I don't care what you've done. If you don't have
faith,
you're lost. But now he's going to come over and hammer these people who are, they say that they've got
faith,
but be real careful. They do have a certain faith, but it's not a saving faith. Therein lies the answer, the problem and the answer. These guys, I want you to have faith that produces
works.
And when those go together, you've got a saved individual. So I can't just believe in God. Well, let me remind you of some stuff that if we did a quick acid test on you, I mentioned this last week, that's in the business world. They say, how much cash do you have? Now, if I go sell my car, I don't want you to sell your car. How much money you got in your wallet right now? Well, nothing. Okay, that's a quick acid test. Or if you took a component and you pour acid on it, it's chemically in the scientific world, what's left after you pour it on there? You say, okay, Jesus even gives you an example in that. He said wood, hay, and stubble is going to be what some people call their
works.
And at the end of time, he says, I'm going to light it on fire, and your wood, hay, and stubble is gone because there was no faith. But now, if I got wood, hay, and stubble, and you light it on fire, but there's a chunk of gold inside, it's like, well, you must have had
faith
with your works, and it's going to last. So we can do a quick acid test, and some of you know what this test is, too. Like I said, if I plant this seed and this tree starts to grow, I can plant a post in the ground. So I plant a tree and plant the post. The difference is one's living because he has works and faith. Which one do you think the post has? Oh, man, this is going to be tough. Yeah, if you glanced at that, it's only works. Holds up that fence well. But one is starting to live and one is starting to decay as soon as you put it in the ground. Matter of fact, we can fool people so well. We can show up and look like, and they call this fool's gold. We can look so good on a Sunday morning. I mean, really, if you had Jesus walking First Baptist today downtown, or Fellowship in Salem, and 2,000 or 3,000 Jonathan Falwell's church. Do you know there's 66,000 people that live in Lynchburg? And guess how many is on the roll of Thomas Road? 22,000. A third of his city is on the roll. All of them are saved, right? No, because it's what they believe in. We're here at church. But you don't believe. Well, I believe in God. We're going to handle you kind of people that think that saves you. James would say, does your talk match your walk, or does your walk match your talk? We talked about Fonzie, how he looks in the mirror and he walks away unchanged. Of course, he does that because he thinks he's perfect. Some of us are going to look in this mirror today called James. And I tell you, it's a tough chapter to preach. This is our mirror. I want you to look carefully today. I'm going to step on your toes. You can get mad at me later. I want to make absolutely, positively sure, without a doubt, sure that you're saved and going to heaven. I would never want to walk into heaven and say, Jesus, I did all I could. And he says, but not everybody at LifePoint knew me. Wow, I'm going to make sure you do today. I want to make sure at least you realize that works will not save you without faith. But if you say you have faith without works, you know what James says? You got a dead faith. You know? Not trying to be, I don't want to be Fonzie. I don't want to look in this mirror and just, hey, you walk away unchanged. And you'll have people, hey, I never missed a Sunday. What's the toughest part of this? He's got about three times in there. He says, your faith is dead. Wow. I don't want. So what kind of faith do we have? Well, what is faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews says, 11:6. And it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. You guys on this side have faith, and that's great. And you say, well, that takes a lot of faith to have faith. Yeah, some people don't believe in God. We call them atheists. Psalms 14:1 says, a fool is sitting in his heart, there is no God. There is a God. The trouble is, they just believe in God, but that's as far as it goes. They never get any further than that. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. This would fly in the face of some people in the world today that they say, oh, we're all God's children. That's a lie. You are not God's child if you don't know Jesus. Well, wow, that sounds so cold. Can we soften that? What would James tell you? No, you can't soften it. If someone comes to me and says, Peter, I think you got cancer. Can you soften that down? You're a little sick. No, I don't want to tell you that. Tell me what the truth is. Jesus said, you got to believe who I am. Most people around him back in that day, wow, they just wanted to spit on him and fight him and kick him. And it's like it's obvious who belonged to him. And then you'd have a prostitute, or you'd have a wayward son, and you'd have all these people who are the losers of the world, and they loved him. Why? Because he gave them a chance. So your faith has got to work with your works. Huh? Remember John chapter 8 when a woman was caught in adultery? And Jesus said, who condemns you? And she says, no one. He says, neither do I condemn you. But what? Go and sin no more. Your life will change after today. So she had faith and she had works. See, I think I'm beginning to, okay, I got to have faith. And we're saved by faith. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of your own doing. It's a gift to God. And you say, okay, stop right there, Edgar. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Well, I thought faith saved you. That's fine. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, oh, see there, I don't have to work to be saved. As long as I believe in God, I'm good. Whether those works ever follow me afterwards, I'm good. Then you need to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, too. For we are His workmanship. See, this is sort of tough to figure out. So you tell me I got to have faith, but that faith alone can't save me. I used to think when I was growing up, as long as you just have faith, that's it. And when people say, I got faith in God, I'm trusting in Jesus. Let me just be very honest. It all boils down to this. I've had people tell me, I am trusting in Jesus. I feel He's forgiven me. I'm a Christian. Okay, I'm not going to judge anyone. Only you know what your relationship is with God. So they're saying their faith without
works
saves them. Jesus' brother says your faith without
works
is dead. What do you mean? I got a dead faith? There's been no change in you. Only thing I've got to go on is by what you're saying to me. So So if I sit up here and you put me on a witness stand and I say, I'm a Christian, just pretend with me a moment. What if I was arrested for being a Christian? They put me on there and say, now, Edgar, do you ever go to church? Well, I'm a Christian. Didn't ask you that. Do you ever go to church? Well, I mean, do you ever go to church? Answer the question. Well, no. You own a Bible? Somewhere at the house. Great. When's the last time you read it? I can't remember. You ever go to a Sunday school class, Bible study group, anything? Well, no. You ever share your faith? No. Your Honor, I feel like we're going to have to let this man go who's been...
Lack of evidence.
He's not a Christian. But I am. No more questions, Your Honor. Yeah, yeah. You scream and holler. I am one. Then how can you have no evidence? See, this is what James is saying. If you know my brother Jesus, there will be your, but naturally will follow your
works.
And if the works don't follow your faith, you're a liar. Wouldn't you love to have James as a pastor? Yeah. I mean, if I got you at Paris Island, how many of you want to be? I want to be a Marine! Yeah, we're going to get up at 4:30. I'm sorry. I don't get up early. We're going to buzz that hair off that you think, you know, it's like David Cassidy. It's gone. Well, can I go call my mom? You've already called her for that 20-second phone call. When you walked in the door, you won't talk to her again for 4 months. How about girlfriend? Nope, it ain't happening. Well, I like my personal space. Then you put your neck into that guy's, you know, your nose in his neck, your nose in his, and then you just cram 30 people from here to the door. Well, I don't like it. And you know what that sergeant will say? You're mine. Uh-oh. You're going to like it. Because you shouldn't have joined this place that expects you to change. Well, don't ask God to save me. But don't change me. Then I won't save you. Boy, that's cold. I told you it's a tough sermon. So we walk and live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So faith is so strategically important. Whatever we do apart from faith is described as sin. So I say I got faith, but my life doesn't change. Romans, in the book of Romans, Paul's writing to some people, they were sacrificing meat to idols. And some people said, okay, you can't eat anything. If that's a part of that meat left, can I eat it? Some people said, sure, it's no big deal. Other people, oh, don't eat it. And he said, okay. Whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. If you're doubting, don't eat. But if you don't have any doubts, go ahead, because eating is not from faith. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So not all faith is saving faith. You say, okay, good. Now just hit us between the eyes. And now faith is a substance. Hold that in there. Faith is a substance. What do you count substance? Rick, what's substance? Is that something I can grab a hold of, tangible? All right, now watch this. Let's pretend like this is substance. Okay. Faith is the what I can see of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I'm going to prove to you that I'm saved by what I show you. Oh, okay, that finally registers. I'm going to show you my faith by my works. And you're going to lose a lot of people in the world since you tell them that. What you're saying is like, prove it. But you said we're not saved by our works. Okay, you're not. You do not have to be baptized, join a church. You don't have to do any of that to get saved. Jesus, the thief on the cross, he said, remember me in paradise. And he said, remember me. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Thief didn't go to Sunday school, didn't get baptized. His faith is what saved him. Well, what did he do with works? Well, he didn't have a chance. He was sort of nailed down at the time. He didn't have a chance to do a lot. But on the same hand, his faith did save him. So I agree, faith, but if it's a saving faith, you say, okay, so what you're saying, there's a difference in a faith. Yeah, let me help you with this. There's three kinds of faith. There they are. Now we're going to finally make this clear. There's a dead faith, a demonic faith, and a dynamic faith. It's sort of like the seeds of the parable, the parable of the sower. Three of the seeds didn't amount to anything, one did. There's a dead faith. Verses 14 through 17 say something like this. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? So you got to understand right here, some people say that they have what? Faith, but they don't really. In their mind, they say, well, it's a faith, but it's a dead faith. it would be almost like, you know, again, hey, I got a tire for the car. Have you looked at that tire? It's got four holes through it, and that, well, it's a tire. It's a useless tire. The only reason we're calling it a tire is because it's a circular piece of rubber, but I mean, outside of that, you can't put that on the car. I got a faith. It's a dead faith. Why? Well, I'll show you. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? See, that faith has to be backed up by works. Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister, and he gives you an example. If you see something to do, nah, I'm not going to do that. Just go, be warm. Don't bother me. I'm on my way to church. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by works or action, is dead. So look at this. Dead faith says the right things, but does not follow through with actions. You got people who will sit on, they'll show a missionary. A missionary will show slides. Becky and Jenny's brother could go to Peru. I want to go to Peru. Hallelujah. That's emotion driven right there, you know. Tell me tomorrow if you really want to go to Peru. I'll sort of change my mind. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, you don't want to go to Peru. You can't even get out of your own house. So that's up. You don't follow through with actions. So dead faith is only an intellectual faith. Can this find a faith save you? No. So knowing about Christ does not mean you know Christ. If someone says, do you know the president? Yeah, I've heard of him. I've seen him on the news there. Do you really know him? Not really. Then there's a mnemonic faith. This is one I always think sort of convicts, should convict people. Those people say, I believe in God. So do the demons of hell. Matter of fact, they got a better faith than you do. You say, how in the world do they have a better faith? Do you have a faith? So do the demons. Now, I guarantee you somebody in that crowd that James preaching to said, wait a minute, I got faith, and maybe I don't work, maybe I don't go to church and read my Bible, maybe I don't do all those things. He said, maybe then you ain't saved. No, wait a minute, I got faith. He says, so do the demons in hell. Demons believe that Jesus is God. Their faith is in their mind and emotion. So the demons, Jesus approached the demons one time in the Gospels, and he was going to cast them in the Sea of Gerasenes. He went over and got a demonic man, and he cast him in. His name was Legion. And the demons asked, said, O Son of God, what did that just show you? They believe in God. They said, have you come to torture us before the appointed time? What's the appointed time for demons? One day they will what? Be all be cast in the lake of fire and hell. So the demons just now showed you, O Son of God, have you come to torture us? Can I just paraphrase instead of the appointed time what they're really saying? O Son of God, have you come to toss us into hell early? What did they just now? What two things they believe in? Hell. God and hell. You got people in the world that don't do that. There ain't no such thing as hell. Yeah, it is. There it is. Yeah. And you got people that say, well, loving God can't send us to hell. That'd be like my son Andy saying, well, Daddy won't ever correct me if he loves me. I will love you, but I will correct you because I love you. So there's a hell? Yes. Hell's not a figment of your imagination. And wow. So these demons, we believe you're Jesus. We believe you're the Son of God. We believe in the deity. We believe all that. We believe in hell. What are you going to do with it? You got people today that don't have that much faith. Obviously, the demons aren't going to end up in heaven. These guys are emotional, too. They tremble as they speak to God. Dynamic faith involves the whole person. We don't just believe in God intellectually. Our emotions, sometimes we just know in our heart, Jesus, you're tugging them. I just know this. And then there's something else. Wow. Our mind, our emotions, and the will acts upon the truth. And can this kind of faith save you? And if this is true saving faith, you can't help but let it produce works in your life. I don't see how you could be. There are no stillborn Christians. If a baby was born and you say he was born but he died, he was dead in the womb. That's what I was supposed to be. And God gave me and my mom a surprise, and here I am. But you don't say, I believe in God, I just don't ever have my life changed. I got to tell you, I don't think you're saved. Well, you used to cuss and this and that and just run and sleep around, drive a car, pay anything reckless. And okay, now that you say, what do you do? I sleep around, get drunk, smoke weed, drive a car, pay. Buddy, I don't think you're saved. Why? Your life has never changed. But I believe in God. So is the demons in hell. But I have a faith. It's a dead faith. But I mean, it's no. A true living faith. Remember that seed? Remember? You put that seed down. It can't help but grow. When you know when you're a little kid and you have a birthday party, here's your gift. Let me go show somebody. That's us. Jesus, I ask you to, come into my heart, save me, forgive me of my sins, make me, change me into what you want me to be. And wow, I could be tough somebody. I went to a driver's ed conference for the last couple of days down in Richmond. I know you think I'm crazy, but it's okay. I was sitting in there going, some of this stuff I know, some of it's sort of boring. God, what can I do down here to change? And I went out in the hall, and I saw this young black man. I should have put his picture in there. His name is Richard. And Richard, he would go up and, hey, I went out in the hall and said, Richard, you got a radio voice. It just sounds like you could be on the radio with that. And I said, you've been blessed. And he said, I can tell that right by that. That you can tell what? He said, you're a believer, aren't you? And I said, well, I am. I love Jesus. And he said, I do too. And I said, isn't that funny that, I said, it's almost like they used to put a fish out there, the disciples back in their day. We just have an unwritten code. It's almost like it. And the next thing you know, I was sitting there and I said, let me tell you my story. And I was about weeping. I never cry, but it hit me all of a sudden then. And I just gave this total stranger a hug and said, man, I love you, man. And he said, you're the genuine article, aren't you? And I am who I am. I said, can I pray with you? Yeah, absolutely. Gave him a book of John again. And so I said, you go to church, Will? Yes and no. I don't know if I'm growing. I said, well, here's what we did today. So we prayed. Ate lunch with him that day and prayed. And he says, I don't know. It's just like, I'm so glad God crossed our path. And I thought, all right, Lord, there's one. A state trooper spoke to us, and I went out in the hall after. I said, I appreciate what you did. And your life's on the line every day. You work solo. There's nobody else in that police car. And your wife standing here. I said, oh, bless your heart. I know you worry about him. I used to. He's in a training session now, so I don't worry about him as I used to. And I said, you know what? It seems like y'all need some prayer. It's, can I pray with you? We're in the middle of it. I don't care. So I said, Jesus, protect this man on the road. He has probably guns pointed at him sometimes. He has knives. You got to protect him and draw him close to you. And I said, you guys look like you need something to read. So good. There you go. Now we go out to the parking lot. Walmart's got a no zone out there. These two boys, hey, how y'all doing? I could identify them. Sound like a right from Giles. And it's like, here's my dad, here's my son. They're a dad and son combo. So I said, well, my father-in-law used to be a truck driver, so you find something to talk about. And, oh, yeah, I said, he used to be pretty wild until he got right with Jesus. And can you yell something to read? And I said, matter of fact, and I said, no, let's be what men. Oh, I don't do that. I'm going to do it anyway. Let's pray real quick. I want the Lord to keep me safe on the road. So I got to pray with two people from Walmart, state trooper and his wife, and a man I've never met. And Richard said, he said, you're bold with your faith. Haven't always done that. The time is short. So who cares if cheats, whether, hey, can I give you a book of John? What, are you a Christian or something? Yeah, I'm just trying to have some works to go with my faith. James would be proud of you. I just don't know if I can do that. I don't know. Remember, if you do not live out your faith enthusiastically, maybe you don't have any faith. If it's not excited enough to make you want to do some works, maybe you don't have what you think you do. Because faith without works is dead. You say, well, show me faith. Okay, I'm going to show you faith. Because here's what faith is. All right. Pretend with me just a second. Get you a good breath. Pretend like you had just let loose a cell. You got rid of cell. And then you're ready to step out. Matter of fact, let me show you what I mean. It's a movie called Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. His dad was shot because they didn't do what they wanted him to do. And now the only way Indiana Jones is going to go and get the cup that Jesus used, because that's supposed to have healing power, according to the movie, and pour it on the Father. And I'm going to show you what faith is. of God.
When they bleed from the lion's head, prove his worth.
You gotta have faith. That's love, as he empties himself. What you do once you find your faith. You help others see the bridge after that. He's got so many parallels. He's not holding the Bible in his hand, but it's like, oh, this tells me what I need to do. This tells me what I need to do. He says, quick, Andy, the Father wants you to do this.
I thought that's cool.
His Father. Well, my Father tells me what to do sometimes. And he says, you must believe, you must believe. And he went, how can this? It just seems impossible. But as you said, bottom line, you said you, okay, look back, empty yourself, and step out. It did work, didn't it? But if he hadn't taken a step, he would never solve it. You guys, with all the faith in the world, unless you start showing me some works, I don't quite see. Show me your faith. Here's what James ends up saying. Last verse, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. He said, but I got a faith. I'm here to tell you what you need to hear a friend tell you. It's a dead faith. Well, do I have to work to get to heaven? Don't ever say that. Jesus says it is finished and that's all you need. But I'm just saying, if you got the faith that Jesus wants you to have, you can't be quiet. You can't. It's something's got to show me. If a person's alive, sooner or later, you know, I do that with my kiddies every once in a while. I glance and hope, and I'm thinking, I don't even see him moving. So I'm watching to see if his body does what?
Runs.
Okay, now, yeah, he's breathing and he's quiet. Well, the world is watching. Let me see if he rides. Let me check him. You know, I don't see any life. Show him life. Because I want you to get your hands dirty and start working. This brother Jesus hammers us that we need to hear that. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I thank you that this faith and works has some people confused. They feel like they work hard, they'll get to heaven, like the people building the Tower of Babel. We're going to make it to heaven by what we do. Lord, that's wrong. And yet some people say, well, I've got a faith, I just never have really experienced a change in my heart, my life, and that faith is worthless. James says it's dead. But yet Jesus, if we place our faith and trust in you and we're saved, we can't help but have works. They just got to follow. Yeah. Something's got to be there. So Jesus, may today we do a long, hard search of our life and make sure that we've not only got a faith, a living faith, a dynamic faith, and not hide behind the fact, well, I believe in God, demons in hell believe in God. Make sure, Jesus, help us to make absolutely sure that our faith has produced some evidence. Those faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can give people evidence that you have changed my life because I'm not who I used to be. Now, my changes don't save me, but they occur because I am saved. So Jesus, may we look in our heart today. and really make sure you're living in their heart, in their life, and that you have changed us. It's a matter of not just life and death, but of eternity, of heaven and hell. So Jesus, it's a tough lesson, but James has taught it to us today in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.